Sister, woman, sister, can you still feel any pain? Or have they robbed you of your anger while putting Thorazina in your vein? Sister, woman, sister, have the walls grown up so high that you can't even dream of leaving, and you've forgotten how to fly?
Hi, I'm Irene Yarrow, and this is Every Woman's Space.
And they locked her up in some juvenile hall to grow up weary and wild. Oh, sister, woman, sister, they won't let me come and see you no more. But I still got the poem that you wrote me. It's hanging on my apartment door. It's a knock, but the door won't open. I seek, but I can't find you.
This is a program by, for, and about women. All kinds of women. Lesbian, bisexual, heterosexual, celibate, undecided, and inactive. Well known or not known, no matter what our age, our race, our class background, or our work. This is a time and a place for us to talk to each other and listen, learn about our culture, and grow. And for communication, as much as possible, and tonight a lot is going to be possible. Tonight is the second Speak Out on Anger, and my guests are all of you. Before we begin, though, I have to say that once again, the show that I had planned for tonight called Women in Cuba, is postponed. Hopefully we'll be on the show sometime in the near future, but I don't want to say when right now in case the postponing happens again. It's important to get the right three women who I want to do the show with me to be able to all make it at the same time, and we've run into a lot of problems with scheduling. But hopefully that'll be on soon, and the night that it will be on, it will be in the program announcements that day. So what happened is that I did a show about anger, a Speak Out on Anger, 3 weeks ago, and there were still calls coming in at the end of the show, women who wanted to talk, and I also got a lot of letters in the week after the show, and women asked to be able to talk more about the subject, so I'm very, very open to doing that, and that's what we're going to be doing tonight. I thought perhaps a good thing to do on tonight's show would be to concentrate, but this doesn't have to happen, but perhaps to concentrate on anger that women have at women and the difficulties in expressing it. And I'm going to play a tape in a few minutes which is about that. I also have a short entry from a woman's journal. This woman sent me this a long time ago, and it's just perfect for tonight, and I may read it if there's time. And a letter from a listener and a poem from a listener. And this will all happen hopefully later on. What I want to do now is play a tape that is a section of a show that I did with writer Isabel Miller last summer. And on the tape, we talked about a lot. We heard some of her writing and talked about a lot of things, and we got into a debate on anger. And I expressed opinions differing from hers, and I was talking to her today, and she reminded me of this, and I decided that it would be a good thing to play this tonight. And I listened to it just before, and I have some disagreements now with what I said. Too. In fact, I think I disagree with me more than I do with Isabel. So let's listen to the tape, and then we'll be back on to take your phone calls.
I have a feeling of caring for all women. I really do.
I do too.
I know.
Really do.
Yeah.
I feel it. There's a great passion, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I feel so protective and loving and this enormous tenderness
mm-hmm.
toward women.
Mm-hmm.
And I can always figure out an excuse for anything a woman does.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's very hard for me to get mad at a woman.
Mm-hmm. I get mad at women a lot. In fact, that's one thing that I've been able to do recently that I'm just learning to be able to do, is just to get mad at women, and that feels really good to me.
If I'm mad at them, I'm mad at them for concealing their divinity, I think. Why are you pulling all this crap on me? Why aren't you admitting?
Here's what I've learned. I can get mad at women because they're not going to stop loving me, respecting me, and wanting me to remain in whatever relationship I'm in with them because I'm mad at them, and I never could get that from men. I couldn't get it ever.
Women won't get mad at you for being mad at them.
They
do not be deceived.
There's something that happens
yes,
when I get angry at a woman that somehow she lets me know, and I'm just learning this now, that after we're finished, that we can get angry about things, and when we finish being angry, we're still going to love each other. But men do what Earl did, which is go into this complete withholding number. Do me the favor of at least taking up with the mail next time. You know, it's like this complete rejection.
I think I do disagree.
Okay, tell me.
I think women can get mad at you and never forgive you. I have people I don't forgive, and I have people who don't forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the things I used to marvel at about men was that they thought they could blow up at you, and then it would be all right an hour later in bed. You know, and I marvel at that. The opposite, apparently, of your experience, that they think they can be rude at supper and erotic later. And I thought how incredibly arrogant and masculine that is in women now. That doesn't work, that you can't get away with that. And you think you can get away with it.
No, it's not that. It's like getting angry about something that the person you're with has done, or some way, or some part of their personality, something about them, without rejecting the whole person. Whereas my experience with men is that if they really get angry at me, they reject all of me. That if I don't come through completely in the way they want me to come through, I'm not acceptable as a person. I experienced that women are more accepting of everything. They're more accepting of anger. They're more accepting of failings, of shortcomings, of ways that we can't come through for each other. And they say, well, okay, you can't come through for me there, but you can here. You know, you disappointed me there, but I still love you here. Whereas what I experience with men is you do this exactly as I say. Here's a list of things, and you know they exist in our relationship. You come through A, B, C, D, and E. And if you do all those things exactly right, I'll love you.
I have that with women.
Yeah. Oh dear.
Perhaps I'm just more unfortunate.
How does that make you feel?
Terrible. I feel I'm incapable of being this lofty person. That I'm never going to make the grade. You know, I'm always going to have these faults and failures, and I'm always amazed that people don't see that that's merely human. You know? How can I not have faults and failures?
Mm-hmm. And you find that women don't understand this and go on loving you afterwards?
I find that they stop loving me a lot. For instance, I'm a very, I come on as a very kind, warm, understanding, yummy sort of person. And this is my little mask. And then if I say one teeny weeny grouchy thing, just anything, they think that this beast has come over me and that I've totally changed.
Oh.
And I'm not supposed to be critical. I'm not supposed to disagree about anything.
You're not supposed to be human?
Yeah. So I'm thinking of trying to change my initial image so people...
That sounds like a good idea.
But I also feel you know?
You could carry a sign or put a sign around your neck that says, I may seem to be perfect, but I'm not.
No, I didn't say that I come on as perfect.
I know.
Mean, I come on as a person who is not critical.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not particularly critical, but I'm sometimes critical, and I find it's hard to have that accepted.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are just shocked when that aspect definitely comes up.
Well, what I realize now is that what I had really learned was to be angry at one particular woman and not to be angry at all women. I'm still having a lot of trouble expressing anger at friends. I realized that when I listened to the tape tonight. I am angry right now at some women that I know. And it's easy for me now to recognize that I'm angry, which is a step forward, as I used to repress that knowledge from myself. But it's not that easy for me to express the anger to them, and I've been thinking today about why. And there are two reasons. The thing that I mentioned on that bit of tape, I sort of have made some progress with, which is fear of their reaction, fear of how the person I'm expressing anger at might react. And I have been learning more. I did learn from learning to express the anger with this one particular woman that I can deal with the reaction. The reaction will come, and then we'll work it out. But and I think I carry that over a little bit into other friendships, relationships, etc. But the one thing that's still left, which makes it a real problem, is the whole issue of protectiveness. When I start to get angry at a friend or a coworker or any woman that I'm close with, especially if I'm really angry, the first thing that happens is that it crosses my mind that they can't really deal with it. They can't deal with it. They can't take it. They'll freak out. They'll come apart at my anger, and then I don't express it, and that very frequently winds up messing up the relationship. So that's just one thing that I have discovered. The number here, if you want to call and talk to me and to everybody else who's listening about your anger, is 371-5200. And I would like to repeat right now that on Every Woman's Space, calls are from women only. And the reason for this being that it's very, very important to me and to many of my listeners that all of the energy of this program is kept by, for, and about, and between, directly between women, from women to women. So I ask men who are listening to please go on listening. I hope that you do. But please don't call, because I want the airtime to be for women. And if you do call, I will just go on to the next call, so it's not worth it. The number is 371-5200, and we have a call. Oh, also, when you get on the air, please turn your radio down, or we can't understand what you're saying. WBAI, you're on the air.
Yeah,
Hi.
Hi. I wanted to talk about that play that's going on by you.
Uh-huh.
You seen it?
Are you calling to talk about anger?
Yeah.
Oh, fine. No, I haven't seen it. Is it the one that's called Medusa's Revenge?
Yeah, I think that's...
Bayou is the name of the theater group, or something like that.
Company.
Right.
Yeah. I'm going to see it soon, you know, but I've heard some really negative things about it, and from what I've heard, you know, the negative things that I've heard, I'm angry, you know, about the production, about, you know, about... what is being portrayed and what is being pawned off as like lesbian or women's culture.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly it's like really heavy stereotyping and, you know, a lot of like S&M stuff.
Mm.
Kind of like, you know, a male trip presented as a lesbian reality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm disappointed because, like, I was all hepped up on going to see it.
Maybe it would be better to wait until you do see it before you really make up your mind about it, because you might disagree with the people who've told you that. I mean, that's just a possibility.
Well, I heard that there's, like, a naked picture of Marilyn Monroe. Like, that's the first thing that hits you when you walk in. It's, like, a picture by Norman Mailer or something. And just some of the things I've heard, like, really turned me off, and it's anger-provoking because, I mean, anger in general is something we could spend all night talking about, but, like, anger, you know, toward women. And, you know, I mean, I'd like to see some good, productive, positive, you know, lesbian or women stuff, and this seems like a real desecrating kind of... gesture.
And if it is that, if when you go to see it, you see that it actually is like that, and it wasn't that the playwrights were trying to make a point with that stuff, I think you'd probably have every right to be angry, especially because if it's stuff written by women, it's one thing when men write negative stuff about us, but it's sort of different when women do. It makes me a little angrier.
Yeah, you haven't heard anything at all?
No, I haven't. I've been meaning to see it, and I haven't had time to, and I haven't spoken to anyone who has seen it. Maybe if anyone else who's listening has seen it, they could, has themselves seen it, that she could call up and tell us about it. That would be good.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and, I don't know, I guess the best thing, or the healthiest thing, I should say, to do is to maybe, discuss this with, the actual producers of it.
Uh-huh. That's a good idea. That is a good idea.
But it does make me angry, you know, to have sort of, you know, like a longing to see it, and then to get negative reactions from people whose opinion I trust.
Yeah, because there is so little that we can see of women's culture, and it's really exciting when there's something.
Right, exactly, you know, and I mean, for S&M fantasies or you know, snuff films, we could, you know, go right out into the patriarchal culture.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's kind of the twist, you know, that I heard this thing has.
Well, I'm going to try and see it, and then I'll do a short review of it on a future program.
Uh-huh. Okay, maybe, you know, somebody else will call in and talk about it. Thanks for, you know, letting us have this space, you know, the name of the program and everything.
Thank you. Thanks
okay,
for calling. Bye-bye. The number is 371-5200. What I'd like to do now is read a journey journal entry that was sent to me by a listener. And it's writing about this woman who got very, very angry, and I think it might make you angry too. Lunchtime at work. The five lawyers eating together and me not invited and not feeling like Miss Aggressive Sunshine today, eating alone outside the office where they all are. I am listening to another one of their small talk nonsense conversations about the presidential elections, post-Watergate morality, the presidential and vice presidential debates, etc. Now they're discussing the issue of people like Elizabeth Ray and Wayne Hayes. Three women lawyers and one man talking, and he's saying that it's just a compromise of principles, like so many others you must endure to take a job. If you don't like it, you can choose not to take the job. It's analogous to the head of our office, whose principles and beliefs no one here respects or agrees with, but you take the job, or leave like one of the male lawyers did. Someone brings up the issue of lack of choice for these women in Washington, D.C., the fact that sex goes along with the job. Resentment that you should have to give into it in order to work. Feeling bad for the women who made a moral choice not to, and therefore can't get a job. Why should this be? Calmly discussing all this in neutral current events tone at lunch. He can't understand why it should be so offensive to us. So it's a compromise. One can live with it. It's an exchange. She got something, the job, money, and he got something, her body. Are we prostituting ourselves any less? A male lawyer is saying this, a male lawyer who supervises an office. I glare from outside the room and his eyes meet mine. He continues talking in this abstract, removed way about the pettiness of being angry about having to give sex to get work. What aggravates me is only in part his lack of understanding of sexism. I am angry and horrified that these women are calmly dissecting his argument. Does he even believe this? Is he so removed from his own body that he believes he wouldn't be upset by strangers, people who he isn't even attracted to, pawing at his body and having free access and taking this for granted? Does his own sexuality mean so little to him? Does he really believe that the women who take these jobs want and like this? Does he really believe that there are ladies, like his female colleagues and luncheon companions, and opposed to them are broads, who are a different breed of people? And is he totally oblivious to the effect this is having on me? Does he really not notice that I am storming away and typing furiously at my desk when my lunch hour is only partly over? Is he only playing devil's advocate for a point of view he doesn't believe in, just to make amusing conversation? And can he really believe that this is amusing to any woman? But why are they just sitting there debating little points that he makes? Why don't they shout in disgust that his assumptions are sexist and false and leave the table, discontinue lunch? I can only conclude that these women are so split in their work lives from their femaleness, their minds so artificially cut off from their emotions in order to deal with the competition and super-rationality of law practice, that they no longer can respond as women and as emotional beings during working hours. This horrifies me. Or else they are suppressing their real reactions for some reason. Or else their intelligence, sophistication, and analytical capacities do not extend to areas concerning their situation as women. Or perhaps they cannot truly listen to what this man is saying at a meaningful level because it would be too painful in the implications for what their supervisor and colleague thinks of them at a basic level. I am finally disgusted and believe I will have to quit this job soon. I haven't lasted even 6 months. I share your anger. We'll take the next phone call. WBAI, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. I just wanted to respond. I did see the Medusa's Revenge production, and what the woman expressed as what she had heard about it is precisely true.
Uh-huh.
And it was very, very distressing. But what was distressing about it is that the women who have worked on this production, I know a couple of them personally, and they mostly are lesbian women, and they worked very, very hard. They used all their own monies.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't get money from anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
They built what is an absolutely beautiful theater.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible technically, it's just astounding. But then, and they wrote the play, and they also worked about 6 months on a daily basis to put this production together.
Mm-hmm.
And you see it, and you think, how sad.
Mm.
You know, because they've put so much time, so much money, so much of their selves into it, and yet it's so demeaning.
Do you think that the women who worked on it were not aware of what the content of the play was going to be like? I mean, they were writing it. Did they not understand what its meaning and impact would be?
I don't know. It's very hard to know because it was written. It seems that it was written by one person. It wasn't an evolution,
mm-hmm,
sort of the group.
Mm-hmm.
It seems that it was one woman's vision, and that woman, it seems that she's, or I know that she's a lesbian woman, and all the women that worked on it are lesbian women.
Mm-hmm.
But the vision of lesbian women is horrifying. I would think that for some lesbian women, it would be just devastating. But what's very angering about it, in a way, is that it's apparently being very well attended.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of an irony, because on one hand, it is so demeaning to women, particularly lesbian women,
mm-hmm,
and yet apparently it's being very well attended. It's open to women only, but I think it would be a huge success with male homosexuals.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just has that dreadful kind of drag image of women,
mm-hmm,
and a complete playing out of the worst extremes and polarities of, say, the femme fatale versus the real butch,
mm-hmm,
sadistic mentality. And what I thought was that perhaps it was an unconscious, the woman was working through her unconscious, and that maybe she just gave herself over to that, and perhaps now that she's gone through it, she can get beyond that, those images, and beyond that, has perhaps been, they're very affected by the movies of the 40s, etc. They have the women, the femme kind of fatale of the 40s,
mm,
you know? And it may just be, and the women, I think, who run it are Cuban, and it occurred to me that perhaps they came out of a very machismo kind of society.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps their own unconscious was so, I don't know, I mean, I don't know if I'm making any sense.
No, you are.
But that their unconscious was so filled with these extremes of male-woman, man-woman,
mm-hmm,
playing those out. And my hope was that if they played them out to the full extreme, that perhaps they could finally transcend it and go on to creating a vision of women.
Did you get a chance, by any chance, to talk to either the woman who wrote it or any of the women who worked on it, since you said you know them?
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to do that. I've been very conflicted. I wasn't sure how to approach it, because I knew that they had put so much, I knew that they had put an extraordinary amount of time and energy on it, and I wanted to respect that.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I really felt very, very sad. That I felt more sad than angry, actually. And very confounded. I couldn't understand why or how they came to this vision.
Mm.
You know, so I don't know. I feel very conflicted, because on one hand I feel angry that women are continuing to go to see it. I think it should be opened up to, you know, I think women are the last ones that should see it. I think nobody should see it, really. But
yeah. That's a very strong statement.
Yeah, I really, and I think it should be boycotted in a sense. I think the lesbian community should do that, because it certainly doesn't, I don't think it reflects even the reality of what lesbian women are striving for at this time.
Mm.
So
wow.
No, it might be good if you could go for nothing And maybe you could do a piece. I think somebody really should. Maybe they're not conscious. I don't know.
I wonder if, by some chance, if anyone is listening who worked on the play, and if you would like to call and respond, we would be really interested in what you have to say.
Okay, anyway, that's all I have to say.
Yeah, thanks very much for calling.
Bye-bye.
Okay, the number is 371-5200 if you would like to call and talk about yourself and anger or any of your feelings about it. Here's a letter. Dear Irene, I have felt for a long time unable to express my anger. My childhood was an education in passivity. That is, it was wrong, bad, to express anger. Since any manifestation of my anger was received by parents and teachers as something bad on my part, I soon grew afraid and distrustful of myself. The anger was so real, yet I did not want to fail them. So I began to hide my anger to myself, hide it and deny it. I learned to feel it less and less, to remain silent in the face of what I knew to be wrong. Certainly they knew better than I, didn't they? By the time I reached my 20s, I was messed up and confused, with anger, among other things, buried within my being. I had to confront my psychic reality. I could no longer hide from myself. I was no longer my parents' child. I had grown up. But I knew that inside, I was still a child. By the way, if you're calling, please hold on, and after I read this letter, I'll be taking your calls. Now I am almost 27 years old. And I think that during the past 6 years, I have begun to take the steps to know myself, to learn about myself, and from myself. What has happened? Looking inside, I saw how alienated I was from other people, how much I considered myself separate from them. I saw and see how I hold the world at arm's length and let few things into my world. How painful for me to realize how I was living my life, to view the reality I had constructed. So, in essence, I began to work on myself. I saw fear and anger in others as I began to let go of my exclusive hold on it. Somewhere along the line, I even began to see that I wasn't so different from others. Humans possess a full range of emotions. They are part of our being. There is nothing we can do when anger, for example, wells up inside of us. It's there. But sometimes I can witness that internal process and choose not to give it away, not to lay it on another person. Because anger is a negative emotion, sometimes it seems to be better, at least for me personally, not to vent that anger, but rather understand it and thereby understand myself. And in understanding anger, the way it occurs in me, I can know about it in others too. I'm angry, but trying to be less angry with myself for the personal events in my life so as to channel that anger into an effective action. If that means keeping still and working in another way, I keep still. If that means making noise, I make noise. So that's one listener's writing about what she's doing and how she's working on herself. We had several calls while I was reading the letter, and they went away. So if you want to call and say whatever it is that you want to say about anger, don't be dissuaded by the fact that I'm reading. Here we go. WBAI, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
I just wanted to say that I had heard your program on anger that you did, I guess, 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And I was very moved by it, some of the telephone calls and things that happened. I really related to, I was in the middle of being very upset, helping a friend who had been abused, and I called her immediately and asked her to please listen to it because she's very unable to get angry at what's happened to her.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of things that happened that in that program that had a lot of meaning to me. The letter that you read before about the woman looking around in her office and seeing what's going on struck home to me because we have an interesting situation in our office. The vice president of our company is a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And that made me feel very good when I joined the company about a year ago. And I began to realize after a period of time that this woman, I was very angry with this woman and am very angry at this woman because she is helping to reinforce some of those chauvinist attitudes that are going on
mm-hmm.
in the office. And I have tried to deal with people on an individual basis, male and female, and ask them to please kind of, you know, consider my feelings and consider where my head is at about my own personhood and my own feminism. And some people have responded to that sometimes with anger and sometimes with confusion, but I've made a few friends that way. I may have even made a few enemies mm-hmm. that way, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I'm very angry at this woman because she won't deal with me, and I guess I won't deal with her very well either. And it's a very confused situation of how I can exist, you know, coexist in the office with this woman.
Is there any way that you can persuade her to talk with you about the things that you're feeling?
I guess I'm a little afraid of the situation, since the communications that we've had about other things that are not quite so emotional in nature have been so difficult. She seems to be threatened by certain of the women. Her husband works in a niche that's a little lower on the hierarchy in the office, and she kind of does this business of kind of wavering between her official quote-unquote position in the office and her position as a wife and mother, and wanting to be very subservient to what she sees as being very subservient and to his needs, and is very threatened by the people that communicate with him, which we must do because of the way the business arrangements are set up. And this threatening situation seems to fall a little bit hard on me and a couple of other people in the office, has created a situation of tension which makes it very difficult to communicate about those problems. But that might be part of my hang-up too, of you know, just not really dealing with it up front. I don't know.